You ever get that feeling of Overwatch characters in your other video game? This is Core.
Kind of a bad Tracer reference. This is Core. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger, and it's episode 28, and we're here to talk about Heroes of the Storm. And I'm here to talk about a decision I made. It was a hard one, and I've talked to you guys about it. I've mentioned it to a few others. I think I'm not playing solo queue anymore until season start in Hero League. And here's why. Because everybody sucks! And I don't mean that they're bad players, but you get into a game... let me paint a word picture for you, all right? I played this match the other day. It's just a quick match. We're not even in Hero League. And the game's going along, and we're not doing great, but I'm doing really well. I'm dominating all charts, including Siege, with Vala, all right? That's kind of hard to do all of those at the same time. The only thing I can't do is tank or heal. Yet everything else, totally leading, the entire game leading. We get to the end of this game, and I'm like, well... You know, if we would have pulled together more, we would have won this, but I guess we're not going to win it. And some guy just starts going off on me. Worst Vala NA, which is worst Vala in North America, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard anyone say. First of all, I'm not the best Vala anywhere on anyone's chart, but I'm not the worst. Second of all, I'm winning. I'm beating you. You're the other DPS and yours sucks. Yours is in the toilet. And the next, and I said, oh, that's nice of you. And he writes back, nice skin that you didn't really earn. Like, what? It's wow. It's my master skin. There's only one way to earn it. XP and gold. And that's it. Those are the two ways. And it's the only way. So when you say someone didn't earn it right, well, what are you saying? That they didn't do it the only way you can do it? There's no cheater way to get to it. You just do what you got to do. So it just reminded me of how often that happens. It's like, I don't know, if you broke the game out 70-30, I'm probably 70% of the time solo queue, I have an experience like that where somebody's pissed, somebody's mad at someone, someone blames everyone else, nobody's really working together, and the other 30, it's pretty good. And most of that 30 is with you guys, with people I like to play with. And now, before everyone is like, oh, Scott's negative Nelly on the show this week, what the hell is going on? Here's what I would just say. When I play with Bo and John, and sometimes Siv and Eric and all our regular people, Dan, Vesa, others.
Schmerich. Don't forget Schmerich.
Schmerich, 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 Schmerich. Yeah. When I play with those guys and these guys, I always have fun, even when we lose. It's always a good time because we're playing as a team and we're losing as a team and we're winning as a team and we're doing all the things you do as a team and we're laughing and we're joking and we're having moments of like, all right, everybody buck up. We got to get in there quicker. We're not doing this right. Whatever. It's back and forth, but never does it devolve into the kind of idiot speak that I'm talking about. And right. That's not fun for me. There's nothing fun about that. Like, I find that the anti-fun. And I don't blame Blizzard. I don't blame video games. I blame players because the games aren't the problem. You're the problem. When you come in there and ruin other people's good time, it just drives me not to want to do that. I don't want to. Why would I want to do that for fun? There's not enough. And until we get seasons, and this is the reason the seasons thing, until we get seasons, there's no real reason for me to even be in there anyway. Because I need some reset. I need a fresh go with my MMR and stuff. Like, I'm in a weird place that way. And when I get that and we get some, you know, refreshed content like that, then I'm all in. But as it stands right now, solo queuing is like putting a hot poker right up me arsehole.
Whoa.
And I don't like it.
Sounds unpleasant.
Well,
a master poker?
I wanted to go all like Blackheart's Bay on you guys with that. With my statement there. But anyway, thoughts, feelings? Am I up in the night? Is this rage going to pass? Like, am I part of the problem? Like, I guess I kind of am because I'm pulling myself out of the pool, which is, you know, if there's more of me in the pool, then we have less of a problem. But they're driving people like me out. And again, I don't blame Blizzard. I don't blame Browder. I don't blame anybody. That's not their fault. They're making a great video game with lots of competition. We just sometimes have... In all video games, poopy player bases that I don't want to spend any freaking time with.
I think it's a case of you know, kind of what I went through, because I'm in the same boat. You know, you get in and you say, okay, you know what, I'm going to play. I'm going to just get in. None of my friends are on at the moment, but that's okay. I'm going to just play a game and I can do this by myself. And sure enough, the very first match, you get that guy that's like, sounds like your guy, who is just, I'm going to pick either the first person who dies or the first person that bugs me, and I'm going to just accuse them of everything that goes wrong with this match. No matter what happens, no matter what goes on, they're going to be the problem. And I've been in matches where that's been me, and I've even had the entire other team telling the guy to shut up, just play, they're wrong, they're not paying attention, and you can't stop somebody once they're on that warpath. They have made up their mind. And it's really poisoned the well for solo queue for me too, because it's a multiplayer game and I like to play with people that I know, because I have found that when I play with people I don't know, I tend to not get along with them quite as well. And it tends to be a more frustrating experience. But you are right, as more and more people come to that decision and that conclusion, that is removing people who don't want that from the pool. And I don't think that it necessarily is wrong for us to do it. Obviously you get into a game, you want to have a good time. Like, all right, that's why we play the games. But I think that also is a bigger part of the reason why it matters so much to us. We're older than we were when we were first getting into games and stuff like that. I don't have an entire day to devote to Heroes of the Storm. I have a couple hours in the evening when I'm done with work, if I get to play a lot. So I would like those hours to be quality and not being accused by some kid or misguided adult of being awful.
Mm-hmm. All right, Bo, Zen Master Bo, Zen Yada, Karazim, step up to the plate and tell us why we're wrong and why my outburst this week is misplaced.
I don't know. It made me sad when you first shared that news. I was like, oh, man, like, you know, we're all really positive about this game. And sometimes friends aren't available, or you just want to play when you want to play. And anything that's sort of a barrier like this is really bad.
Yeah.
So my sense is, like, everyone has a right to be playing this game. No matter, maybe you are the worst Vala in North America. Not you, but maybe there's somebody out there who is the worst Vala in North America.
Like a Heroes playing baby who's just happy to be there.
There is a player out there who is the worst Vala in NA. And you know what? That person has a right to play the game, has a right to have teammates, and has a right not to be treated like a butthole by other people. Like, and I think we're pretty much mature adults, so we're kind of speaking in an echo chamber. Like, everyone who's in our situation is going to be great. Yeah, be mature, be sportsmanlike. And I can't tell if it's really misguided human beings that don't understand that they're yelling into the abyss of the internet and getting nothing out of it.
Yeah.
Whereas, or if it's actually just a lot of these folks that are ragey are just young individuals who, you know, I thought I was super smart when I was in my teens and early 20s and think it was real cool to tell people off when I thought I had all the right answers. Like, am I getting that? Where is this coming from? But ultimately, everyone has a right to be there, and no one has a right to make other people feel like they shouldn't be playing any video game, let alone this one. Yeah. So I don't like letting them win. And I think if people in a game scare me off playing the game I want to play, I can't let that happen. Not that I play Heroes out of spite. Like, oh, everyone tells me to stop playing, I better keep playing. but you know, if I want to be, like, that's the best I think we can do right now is to just mute everyone and go into solo queue and mute them all and just play. And it's still a sucky state of affairs, but really, I don't know. I hate letting the trolls win. I hate letting the bad, it feels like letting the bad behavior people win. But ultimately, the way you enjoy Heroes is up to you. So if you don't want to play that mode, that's probably the right decision. Like, if you don't want to play solo queue or solo and have to put up with butt heads, then you're probably doing the right thing for you. And that's sad, which is why we need clans. We talked about it, I think, last episode. Bring in clans. We have a pretty strong community. We can get like-minded individuals into your teams, and then you never have to suffer people, even if it's a more casual experience, not like we're five-manning team league. At least you'll have a group of people who, well, if they are a butthead, they can't be in your clan anymore. You know, they have rules. So
right.
That I think is how we solve this going forward. If you just cannot stand being in a game with people who will abuse you for no reason, then we need better tools to make this possible for those of us who don't want asshats in our casual game.
And I should make it. Go ahead.
I was just going to add to Bose, even though I've kind of landed on your side of things, Scott, and said, nah, it's probably not for me. Mm-hmm. But I do know that there's probably people out there listening to this saying, well, yeah, but that's the only way I play. I don't really know a lot of people to play with, and I don't have a big community that I can draw from or anything. So what do I do? And so my advice to that person is this. Be very liberal with your use of the mute button. Just don't engage with it. Just as soon as somebody's being toxic, go ahead and mute them. You don't have to have a conversation. You don't have to deal with it. You don't have to let it be a constant stress to you. And just accept that sometimes you're going to get bad matches. It's the same thing. We've had games, even when we're all grouped up together, where we get put against the team that just stomps us. And we think, man, how did we get matched against these guys? Because this is an amazing team and we're just getting our butts handed to us. Well, just like it's sometimes down to the matchmaker and RNG that you got a really good team, sometimes it's just up to matchmaker and RNG that you got put with a bunch of trolls that you can't control. And just accept that as a part of the game and press forward, because maybe next game you're going to be playing with somebody that you'll have such a good time with, you'll want to group up. Because we've had that too. We've had people try to add us or say, hey, can I keep queuing with you guys? Because you guys are fun. Mm-hmm. And so it does happen. You just gotta put out what you want back as well. So try to be a positive force, try to be good and do your best and just see what you get out of it.
All right, that's good advice. What I'm gonna try to do. I mean, here's the thing I won't stop doing, and I should have mentioned this before. We do have a nice big community to draw on. We have a bunch of people in a gaming group that are always sort of in there, and I will always play with you guys. You are not the problem, all right? It's when I go in and I just start a random game and it's me solo queuing. When I play with you guys, we're grouped. We're, you know, even if we may not be on comms even, but we're, you know, we common cause, had some great games that way. In fact, I have never had a bad game with those people. So, who am I calling those people? Anyway, just something I wanted to get off my chest. Just been bugging me. And again, I want this to be very clear. It is not this game's fault. It's not League of Legends' fault or Dota 2's fault or any other game's fault that human beings are sometimes, you know, dicks. Just don't be one.
We need a behavior MMR. You know, we have one MMR for skill, and we need a asshat MMR.
Yeah.
It measures what the types of words you write in the chat.
I saw
Future's
Dustin
here, folks.
I saw Dustin Browder applaud a Twitter follower who suggested that one of the stats that they could add to the stats page after the end of a match is how long people sat idle or didn't move in the game as an indicator of how, you know, somebody did on the other team or on your team. And I don't know why he likes that idea so much. I usually agree with Dustin, but that idea seems like a bad one because it's one more thing for somebody to decide to interpret however he wants and nitpick on you and say that you sat there too long or something.
I think the numbers are there.
Every officer I play with is awful.
I don't know. I don't know why I liked it. Maybe he was being sarcastic, but it seemed like an odd thing to like.
Well, people grok their, you know, we all use the stats to check out our performance. Like even when the opening story, you said I was top numbers and everything. Yeah. We're like, if you're being a more thoroughly analytic, you might say, well, it was top numbers and everything, but I was letting the team down. I'm not saying that that was the case in your case, but we look to the numbers for clues as to how this goes anyways. So this stat actually does seem interesting. Yeah. Because maybe you didn't get a ton of hero damage, but your support spent half the match idle. Yeah. You can be like, well, you know, what do you want me to do?
I also think that if you could rate your teammates, I know that it's not always going to be reliable data, but I would do that when I play with somebody who's great and who treats everyone else nicely and isn't a jerk. I would totally rate that person, even if they weren't the best player. In fact, they could be the worst player on the team. And if they were genuinely trying and doing their best and you could tell, I'd give that guy upvotes. Like, why not more upvotes? And you know, so there's not just the option to report or mute. Like some positive input would be nice. That's my thing.
I will say this. Since drafting has come in for the Hero League side of things, I find that the conversation that happens at the beginning is more likely and it creates a sense of positivity and camaraderie, which I'm not saying this solves the problem of toxicity, because when you lose, it does degenerate sometimes into a crappy mudslinging argument. But this idea that there are things in the game that people have to work together to accomplish, creating a more positive bond between players, carries over for the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. So we drafted together. Now we've done something together. So, you know, we have to say hello. Whereas like with Quick Match, you just get tossed in. And if someone's feeling bad about things, the first interaction with you is usually that you suck. But if you said hi to a guy and been like, how are you doing? You're less likely, I think, later to start, you know, bad mouthing people, if that makes sense, because you've created a positive bond first.
Sure.
I feel like if there's something more, I don't know what it is, but if there's something that can create more positive bonds between players prior to a match or leading up to a match, that would be an interesting way to solve it, maybe.
Yeah, I wonder what it would be outside of adding draft to quick play. I wonder what it would be in quick play.
Maybe they bring back the Monkey King, but instead of clicking on him, you have to type nice things at it.
Yes!
And nice things to each other. And then the more nice things you say about each other, you know, there's some AI bot that detects when something's, you know, not disingenuous, but very positive.
Yeah.
It'll give you an extra 100 gold.
You know what? Sometimes those, I mean, money motivates, right? Why not?
Sure.
Give people a reason to get a little extra gold.
Everyone has to do it.
Yeah. And the one that refuses, just don't trust that guy.
Well, he gets minus 100 gold and everyone gets his gold and shares his gold.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Wow. This is getting dark.
Before you can load into the match, you will be given a riddle. And you must, as the team, solve the riddle. And then loading can complete.
What is your favorite color? All right. Well, let's move on to some good news, some positive news. Tracer is nearly here. The Nexus can always use more heroes.
Cheers, love.
Cheers, love. She's in tomorrow, and tomorrow's a big day. We got a big patch coming. There's an in-development video that taught me things I didn't know about her, like her origin stuff. I didn't know she was flying this test plane that had this weird time displacement thing in it, and it screwed up, and then she wasn't synced with time anymore, so Winston had to build her little chesty time thing, and it made her more timely or whatever, gave her all her powers. And anyway,
that's what happens.
I didn't know any of that. Also, her name is, oh crap, I didn't write it down. It's like Enid or Armin.
Lena Oxley.
Lena Oxbarf. Got it. She's, that's her name.
It's a trap.
It's, Tracer is just her nickname or her power, her hero name. Anyway, that's something I just didn't know. And if you ordered the Origins edition of Overwatch to play this week, she's out tomorrow for free. Well, not for free, but because you bought that, you got her that way. Otherwise, you buy her next week. Now, it just occurred to me as I read that, I think I forgot to get the Origins edition of the game. I may have just ordered the $59 basic get in there deal. Because I didn't really care about those two skins.
Isn't the 59, that is the Origins edition.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
You're good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You're safe.
All right. I'm okay then. That's the one I got.
However, this has caused a little bit of controversy, and I would be curious to get your guys' take on it. Mm. Because, so for those of us who have pre-ordered, we're getting her tomorrow. For those of you who want to just flat out buy her, you can do that in a week. However, if you pre-ordered the physical version of the game, you will not be getting free Tracer until your physical version arrives post-launch date of Overwatch.
Oh.
And those people are a little upset.
Well, you know, you'd expect them to be a little upset. Although, logistically, I don't know how Blizzard solves this. What are they going to do? Make deals with every retailer that there's a code with everything that lets them get in early? Like, that seems bad. Or hard. Maybe it's possible. I don't know. But that, boy, I didn't think about them. Because otherwise, this is our Tannis all over again, right? And
yes.
In every way except that. Or maybe it was true with our Tannis that way, too, if you got a physical copy of Legacy of the Void. Is that true? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it probably... Well, yeah, I think that actually probably would have been true with our Tannis. I don't remember
now. I think there was probably no stink about it because just less people were as interested.
Well, yeah, because it's the StarCraft audience probably buying the StarCraft game.
Yeah,
where
and they're getting it digitally. I mean, how many of them are really all that worried about collector stuff or any of that? Some
yeah, I guess there was a box copy, but I just didn't hear any talk about it. But this one I'm hearing talk about it. I have a few opinions about it. I think this is not great. I don't like the timing. Before considering this, I didn't like my view on a week early Heroes in another game. Yeah. Like, let's say I like Heroes of the Storm and I don't like any of other Blizzard's games. Let's just say I'm that person.
All right.
This is unfair to me. I'm invested. I'm spending money on Heroes stuff. But because, you know, there are promotions going on in other games, that's great. There's extras, extra skins, extra portraits, whatever. But, like, I can't play Hero for a whole week because I'm not interested in another one of their games.
Right.
Like, I get that we're trying to create, you know, buy-in to all of Blizzard's properties and cross-promotion. But the idea, A, that a Hero's available earlier than some other people was I feel bad about. So when people say I bought a box copy and I got to wait X amount of weeks to get it, I also feel bad for. I think this is just bad practice altogether, actually. Mm. I don't think an early or a Hero in Heroes, which is my game of choice, should be available as a free thing to anyone else anyways, at least till after launch. Like Diablo 3, buying Diablo 3, get a free Diablo. That's fine. Everyone else can have access to it. You know, it's much later. But I don't like this kind of promotion.
Here's how you fix it. It's real simple, and it doesn't really change the outcome for Blizzard. It's still positive in their direction. All they have to do is let you buy it tomorrow if you want it. So everybody who pre-ordered, fine, here's your free copy. But also on the same Tuesday, if you wanted Tracer, maybe this is a load thing or a matching problem. You know, I don't want to discount all that. Having one character be that popular for the first day is always a nightmare anyway, even with a new hero when they're just purchasable. But if they would just say, hey, for 15K gold or $10, a person who doesn't care about Overwatch can now buy Tracer, and those who got Overwatch early, great, you got her today as well. She's just free for you because you paid the extra $10 for your pre-order or whatever. That would fix it, right? Because the incentive is still there to pre-order. You're still getting a thing you were going to get anyway plus a free hero out of it. And and then you still get to play because you're invested in the game. Like, I don't see why that isn't the way they do it. I really don't get the whole put it off a week part.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Bo.
All I want to say is that this is key content to Heroes, and you're making key content available to people in games other than Heroes, and that's bad for Heroes players. It doesn't matter if I'm an Overwatch and I buy it early, if I'm also a huge fan of Heroes, I'm being left out of the launch hype. Because really, the time to play the new hero for a lot of us is the day it gets released. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Now we're divided and some of us can't because reasons. Right. That shouldn't happen. It just shouldn't happen, I think.
I agree.
Look, I'm going to acknowledge that what I'm about to say is the equivalent in Heroes of the Storm of first world problems. Mm-hmm. But even when they did this with Artanis last time, because they don't do the full release of the hero on the week early version of it, you just get that hero. You can't buy any skins. They haven't done the whole make everything look nice and fancy for Tracer, or at least they didn't with Artanis. This could be different this time, but because that was the case, I, you know, absolutely loved Artanis, and I had him up to level 10 right at the same time that his other skin became available. And I purchased it, and I had like two games with the new skin that I just spent money on. And then I got Master Skin and was like, oh, well, I guess I'm done using that skin I paid money for, because I had this whole extra week. Like I said, I know that's a first world problem, but I would absolutely love to just have full access to the character along with everybody else. So I do agree with that. And then here's my proposition, and you can let me know if I'm crazy or not. I understand that this still involves a little bit of compromise, but what if when you get a boxed copy of the game sent to you, so you're having to wait until actual launch date, what if you put in a Tracer code and you already have Tracer unlocked, it unlocks 15,000 gold for you for your account?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I like that.
That solves the problem too. Like, that's the trick. Just have it come out as if it was always going to come out. The only difference here is some people had a benefit for pre-ordering something else, and it has no impact on anybody else. Everyone else is, it's still Tracer launch day across the board. Some got it that day, quote unquote, for free for a pre-order, and some didn't. credit the money that way, that's fine. Same difference to me. Like, just give them a way to get it. And that's what bugs me. So I'm totally with you, and I don't know why they do it. I don't know what the benefit is. There's certainly a downside to it. Everybody's flipping out, you know? And yeah. The physical copy people just add a little extra sauce on top of an already, you know, disgusting donut.
Well, the benefit is that then I can play Tracer and Bo can't, and then I get to play Tracer before he goes on his quest to get her to
That's
level
a good
10.
Point. That's a good point.
But seriously, though, all the other Blizzard IPs, they get, like, Portraits in StarCraft. Like, these are not very, these are low impact items. But for some reason, it's like okay to give people heroes early in Heroes. This is like high impact to Heroes fans.
Yeah, well, it's huge. It's a hero. It's a giant hero. Well, in this case, she's
game content. It's like it's the game content.
Well, in this case,
she's the only thing you buy.
Sure.
That you have to buy to be able to really play anything you want.
Right. She's a little thin though. She's gonna fall apart as soon as you hit her. Turns out she's super low on HP. She has no hit points really, according to Dustin Browder. Talked about that a little bit earlier. Anyway, the in development video is definitely worth watching, and you guys should check it out. It's gonna be interesting to see how she avoids if she is this fragile, because there's a lot of talk about how fragile she is in as a trade for how damaging and maneuverable she is. How much is it going to take just to knock her down with a good AOE or something? Like, is a stun that normally hurts somebody a little bit going to hurt her a ton and let you one-shot her with stuff that normally takes two hits for even your softest of characters? I mean, we don't know any of this yet. We don't know what her actual hit points are yet, I don't think.
7.
Yeah, and she's not in the PTR, by the way, so no PTR for her. Although, didn't we get... Like, Artanis was PTR a couple days before, at least.
No, I don't think he was.
I don't think he got
launched. Cold.
I like my Artanis served cold. But yeah, I don't. What was the hero that they? Something recent was like that. I don't remember something.
Well, I mean, Zul. I think Zul was out for a week beforehand.
Yeah.
I want to say it was Zul. I think, or Li Ming. I think it was Zul. They do the week testing periodically. I think it's because other stuff's coming down the pipe with a patch.
Mm. Yeah,
and it's less about the new hero and more about the other patch content. Mm. So,
they said they can't do test realms for hero balance. Like hero balance, they don't get the details until it's live. So when they do PTR, the new hero might be in it, but that's not what they're actually testing. I mean, if there's a game breaking bug, maybe they'll look at it, but they are testing to make sure that all the features that are set to come with the patch are implemented as well as they can. It's not actually for hero balance testing. So that's why we don't get it every time there's a new hero, but we typically will if there's a big patch around it.
That makes sense. Anyway, so let's see what else. She cannot... Oh, by the way, her rewind thing, I thought it got rid of any damage she took while she before the rewind. That is not correct. She doesn't. She may have. She got poisoned during that fight, or she got some other negative effect. You know, blinded or whatever. If she rewinds out of there, those are removed, but not her health stays wherever she was damaged to. Right.
At least until 20.
Okay.
And then you can talent into getting it.
Okay.
Yep.
That seems like a level 20 thing to do, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you
don't, I mean, that's how you heal her in Overwatch, which I love that they said she's harder to play in Heroes than she is in Overwatch. Mm. That's a bold stance to take, Mr. Browder.
She's pretty challenging to play in Overwatch, I will say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's, I mean, John's been putting some work into her. By the way, that game's beta, as it currently stands, ends this weekend, this Friday. And nothing until the game, well, the early launch game stuff, early May. So. Get it in if you got it.
I felt like such a baby. Here I am. I've had beta access for so long, and there's been so many people so hungry for it. Yeah. And I heard that, and I, for a very brief moment, everybody, brief.
Yeah.
I got real indignant about it. Like, what do you mean I won't be able to play?
Oh, yeah. People love that when I start talking like that about this beta I've had for 9 months and they've not been able to get into. They love it when I talk about my poor life and how I won't have it Friday. We're going to play a bunch on XP this week, so check that out on Tuesday. Play an hour and a half of that, an hour and a half of Heroes. All right, what else? Anything else I have to say? She's, you know, glass cannon of sorts. I'm very anxious to see her in action, both from a teammate perspective, an actual hands-on perspective, and an opposing team perspective. I just love, I love that whole initial time where you see how a hero gets used. And it's going to be good. Tomorrow's a big day, except for
some. I'm excited to watch other people play. It's going to be great.
See, that sucks. It's your, you know what? Ugh.
Yep,
I'm
it's terrible.
Yeah, I'm bugged about it. It shouldn't be this way.
I guess I should pre-order Overwatch to get it.
Do you think they,
I don't know.
Do you think they know? Like, do they know that,
like, what
this
if I want to buy the $40? Like, I'm not a big collector's edition guy to begin with.
Me neither.
It's kind of holding me hostage a little bit. But, I mean, they're kind of saying, well, spend $10 on the hero and $40. Well, why don't you spend an extra $10 on the collector's edition? I'm just, why do I have to make these decisions? I don't want to. Just,
yeah.
You know, anyways, I'm going to shut up about it. I've said all that I had to say.
That's all right. I understand where you're coming from.
She looks really exciting. I think she's going to be real cool. Her master skin's cool. And that mount, that Spectre mount. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that thing looks amazing.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Everything about it looks great. So watch for that tomorrow. It likely will, you know, some video content will go up on the core video page on YouTube. Like, there'll likely be all sorts of things around Tracer. I don't know why. It feels like a seismic thing in this game. It's the first non-traditional Blizzard IP to be entered into the game since Lost Vikings.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal all around, and it's too bad they won't let Bo play. All right, next. let's talk briefly about the ranked versus quick match gap, and what do we need sort of as a bridge between the two. I've been feeling this way a little bit. The ARAM thing kind of works that way. The Lost Cavern custom match stuff is a nice alternative. I do want to start messing. So the other night we did a bunch of ARAM with fans and stuff. And, John, you had said, or I had said, hey, we should try this once, but with, like, draft. Let's just draft characters and see how this goes. Like, everyone picks their best character, and let's, you know, let's have a, like, full-on go for it instead of random. And you had said somebody had tried that and came away thinking it was really disappointing, or it took forever, or something going on there. Describe that again, because I think a lot of people wonder why we're always going random in there. And some would argue that that's the best way to play it, and maybe it's because of what you said the other night.
Yeah, so I think a big part of the reason why the whole random aspect is so popular with it is because it's a map that's there to seed just chaos and confusion. Now, I think there's a couple things they could do with the mode to make it a little bit better. I think if you leveled faster, it would be more ideal for that particular map, like maybe bump up the experience rate gained by 50%, because those matches do last a really long time already as it is. They go the full length of normal Heroes matches, sometimes even longer. Yeah. So I actually think some work could be done there. But what I had heard is that if you're allowed to draft your team, people pick in such a way that they pick a lot of characters with a lot of self-sustain, because you can't rely on going back, so you pick characters that are going to be able to self-heal and stay in the fight longer and all of that. And what it creates is it creates kind of a double turtle comp going up against each other, and it makes it even slower and even longer, kind of unintentionally. I mean, everybody's just wanting to pick the best things, but that's ultimately what kind of happens.
So maybe you could apply some rules to it, like we have to all be high damage squishers, or we have to all, you know, you could just be a little more stringent about the rules, but I guess that defeats the purpose of, I mean, you're not going to be able to draft. I guess I don't know. I'm kind of in a weird place with that mode. Like, I think it's really fun, but I can only take like three of those before I'm like, all right, give me a normal map.
Yeah.
Give me some objectives.
Plus you don't get any experience or anything out of it either. And that's, I think, part of the frustration, and to kind of tie it to what we're talking about here, is that it does feel like right now your options are, okay, we can all go into quick match, or we have to ditch a lot of people that we'd like to play the game with, and then we can go into Hero League. And it feels like there is just this big hole right in the middle. And as soon as you start to go into the custom games, it's like, all right, well, sure, we can do that, but what am I getting out of it? I mean, I'm getting a chance to play with friends, and that is its, you know, own level of reward. But at the same time, I get that in quick match along with experience and completing quests and stuff like that, too. Right. And it does feel like right now there's a missing pillar play style to the game.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, the ARAM thing, I think it's also lasts like 20 minutes, like a normal game. Like, my impression of this kind of game mode was also that it was quicker. And it's just not like they're usually 20 minute games, which is also not a value add there for like, because the idea behind, I think, random is to try a bunch of different heroes you never played before. You roll, you know, you roll something randomly, you try them and you go. But I think the XP needs to be boosted on that map for it to really live up to what it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
I think the matches take too long.
Yeah, I agree with that. I concur with both of you on the timing of it. It needs to be shorter. And it's not that it's boring. It's just kind of, it seems against the point of why you're doing it. If you're cutting out all of the objective stuff and you're boiling it down to team fights, it should feel more like the time that you actually have been doing team fights in a real map, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The time.
And I mean, you're saying you get bored after like three of those, which time commitment wise, I mean, that's, you know, an hour and a half roughly to get it all set up and in and, and going. If matches were 10 minutes, like if that was considered a long match on those maps, you'd probably be more inclined to, let's just keep this going. It's, oh crap, I got Morales. I hate playing Morales on this map, but who cares? It's 10 minutes and then I'll be right back on somebody different. Like that's the feeling you should get.
Yeah, I'd go all night with that, I think, because it would be a nice departure. It is a nice departure in itself, but it'd be nice if they were a little shorter. So I don't know if Blizzard's listening to this, but shorter. Make him shorter.
And so what about something a little more competitive than what we've been playing? Because like our play group hasn't really ventured into Team League too much. I think we find it a little intimidating as a group because we play to have fun, and that cutting edge try hard mode has its place, but we're not always in the mood for it. But sometimes quick match can feel a little light. So are you guys want to see an unranked draft? Because there's a lot of talk about unranked draft. Oh my God, I can't speak today.
there was a bunch of tweets from Browder today that made me nervous about the prospects.
Well, he said, because there was a tweet here, although I have to find it. But basically, he's like, we think people don't, like, they'll fear it'll be a dead queue. That's what he said. Most games in unranked play don't really have a big following, which is weird because you see a lot of people asking for it. And I think what they're looking for is the quick match being what it is. We've talked about it at length. Just it's a random thing. Like there's only so much guarantee of a quote balanced match you're going to get. I think people feel like, at least even whether it's true or not, they feel like they're being more competitive and building, have a better chance at building a team with a draft mode. So that seems to be like the stepping stone that people envision between quick match and ranked. But is there another kind of game mode that might also fill this gap, or is it really just this?
I think unranked draft is kind of perfect, personally. I mean, it's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something that's not going to give me a comp that's two healers, no tank, a support, and the rest with crappy assassins versus something similar. Like, yeah, you matched us up against each other, but that doesn't make it a fun match. I do like that there is a mode where I can say, on a new hero launch day, I'm going to play Tracer games, and I get to play Tracer games if that's what I want to do. I like that idea. Maybe we get to a place where that is a particular subset mode in Arena where you actually get to pick your hero, and maybe that can be a place that facilitates that, and quick match becomes essentially unranked draft. I could see that happening, but in lieu of that, like, I want something that will let me get the ranked play with my friends.
Yeah.
And right now, I find that incredibly limiting because typically if I'm on, there are between 3 and 5 of us. And it's a case of we either drop someone and go two, we do quick match, or we try desperately to find someone so we can go into team, which isn't a good experience because nobody's in there anyway. I also think they should get rid of that mode while they're at it. I think they should just be a ranked mode, and if you have 5 people, they build the matchmaker to strongly favor, even over long queue times, you going up against another 5-man and just bake it in.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that too, but it just occurred to me, why? Okay, so what they're never going to do is have a new tab that says, you know, you're going to have quick play unranked or a draft quick play and then Hero League. They're never going to do that, I don't think. I think they think that it's splitting the player base too much. So here's what I think they do. They go quick play. When you choose that, you have an option on screen. play ranked or play draft or un, but not or not draft. Maybe this is the same problem because you need more players. I don't know. But I want to be able to maybe because I understand what they think about quick play or a quick play game. It's like get in, go. Like, don't worry about anything. Pick the character you want. Don't have to worry about it getting banned out. You just want to go in there and you want to try Karazim out. So I'm just going to choose Karazim. I'm going to hit play and off I go and there's a game and I play. And there is great value in that. I don't deny that. Okay, that's a there's a decent part, probably a big part of the player base that wants that kind of thing. And most competitive games of any sort have something like that in them. So I don't, you know, begrudge them that. And I don't necessarily want them to change that. Or not have that be available at all. But it'd be nice if you could just say, well, I want it to be draft mode. Can I choose option B within quick play? And now I'm quick play draft mode. That to me solves the problem. Maybe it doesn't solve the, we can't, you know, it still splits the player base and you have a matching problem at that point. But I wish that's how it worked. Because I would love to be able to just, I don't want to do any more mirror matches, I guess is what I'm getting at. That's my main problem. Like, that's almost my entire problem, is mirror matches to me just feel weird. And I don't like any
mirror match as well.
I don't like two or three characters are the same on each team. That just drives me up the wall. And I know they're trying to, the matcher's trying to avoid those things. But it just doesn't do it.
When you get an Avathur on your team, there's basically an Avathur on the other team.
Well,
always.
Yeah, because it's the only answer you've got. But like, didn't they say once that, I thought somebody said once, we try to not have, you know, if we can help it, there won't be two Jainas or there won't be two Hammers or stuff like that. Maybe I'm thinking of something else they were talking
about.
They
might have said that. It's been so long. Like, I'm sure that that's something that's a priority, but like, I've seen, no. Like, depending on the types of heroes, I've seen plenty of Avathur versus Avathur. And, you know, whenever there's a new hero, there's always one on both teams. Plenty of Li Ming and Zul and Zul. You know,
yeah, that's true.
You know, that's fine, I guess, but like, we need to be able to take it to a place where that's not possible. And I feel like drafts, I don't know. Again, you make that, the more rules they add onto the quick match algorithm for the matchmaker, the longer it takes to find games.
Yeah, in effect, you double it every time. You know,
that's why we want to draft, because then, you know, we can get that experience, but not have to, even for me, like when I play, I kind of want to play draft, but I don't always want to ante up my ranked points if I'm feeling tired.
Yeah, good point. It's always a gamble. Hey, how about this? How about John's idea? You just let us have as many in ranked that can be there so that we don't, you know, if there's more than two of us, we don't feel like we have to quick play. We can still rank. Like, bring that back. That part back. Get rid of team. Make it so it's any group, any size, go in Hero League. And with the draft art built in now, baked in, we're done. That, I mean, that's good enough, I guess, as a compromise for me, because I would play that more. Like, I don't care if it's ranked. That's fine. Let's get into ranked. Let's do it. But let's make it so I can do it with three of us or four of us.
Yeah.
Or all five of us or two of us or myself if I want to. Like, let's get back to that. I don't know if
it's definitely tough. Mm-hmm. I don't envy them their position. And even the ideas I'm throwing out, I hear it and I think, well, I can see, you know, why somebody would argue against that. But I think that at a certain point you have to acknowledge the lay of the land in front of you. And right now it feels like real solid on one side, real solid on another side, and a big missing piece right in the middle. And I think they need to address that. And they can't keep being vague or wishy-washy about, oh, here's what we're going to do with what's going on here. Like, I think they need to firm up some ideas on that.
Yep, totally agree. All right, let's talk about, what's this? Oh, the champion mount for the MVP black. What is this? Tell me what this is. I don't even know what this is.
The new Nexagon is here. So remember, Cloud9 has a Nexagon.
Oh, right.
Well, MVP black is coming with BMVB black is having a new Nexagon mount because they won the spring championship.
Oh, all right. I kind of like that one better for some reason than Cloud9, and I like Cloud9. I think maybe it's because they're more obscure and I don't think about them as much. You know what I mean? It's like Pepsi
green
versus...
green and black. It looks pretty exciting.
But it's like Dr. Pepper and Dr. Thunder. Like, which would you guys rather ride? A Dr. Pepper mount or a Dr. Thunder mount?
Mr. Pibb.
All right, but that's the same point, right? You'd go with the weird, obscure one. That says more about us than them, I guess. But anyway, that's fine. Good job, guys. MVP.
You did
wow.
It.
What is Dr. Thunder?
It's Walmart brand, okay. Dr. Pepper.
Okay, I googled
Dr.
it.
Thunder. See somebody named Dr. Thunder, by the way. You will end up with a foot on your head.
Yeah, Dr. Thunder sounds like a wrestler, or it's not a good doctor.
Dr. Thunder sounds like the kind of doctor that would prescribe 2 Red Bulls instead of 2 aspirin. Yeah. Like, just take 2 Red Bulls and go run a marathon. And
you'll hey, guys, out. Cool, you got hurt skiing? Come on in, Dr. Thunder will patch you right up. You can see some sweet gnar out there, man? Cool,
some
Put some anesthetic on your face, and I'll take a little hit myself, you know, just get a little loose before we get in there and see what's the goings on.
Yeah, you had me at sweet gnar. That was pretty good. Let's see.
Congratulations, MVP Black.
Yeah, good job, guys. Way to go. All right, Blizzard's response on Reddit confirms that tooltips are incoming for draft. When somebody pre-selects a hero, you don't know whose skin it is or what hero it is. So tooltips, meaning client side, you'll be able to hover over it. And it will, you thought it was Muradin, but really it's the other dwarf.
Alstead.
Yeah. Why don't they, I still don't understand. Is it because of streaming or something that they just don't put the name there before you choose it? What's the problem?
I think they derped on it. I think previously it was evident maybe because everyone had it one unique portrait.
Yeah.
And they had this really cool idea, implemented it, and just didn't see this one coming.
Oh, because it includes skins and everything now.
Yeah, the Falstad Master skin, he's helmeted, so he kind of does look like a Muradin, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And there's a few other ones too. I personally, I'm a giant heroes nerd, so I'm like, who needs this thing? I know what all the heroes and their skins look like.
Right.
So I've never had this problem, but I don't want my teammates to have this problem if they don't play as much as I do. So, yeah, this is a good idea.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe Bala might look like Li Ming. I don't know.
We'll watch for tooltips. Is that tomorrow? We don't know. When's that coming?
We don't. It's just that it's confirmed. It's been an oft-requested thing I've seen quite a bit, and they've come out, and I think Blizz Claudio, not sure who that is, but on Reddit confirmed that they're working on something.
Ah, Blizz Claudio.
Blizz Claudio.
Sounds good to me. He'd be a guy I want to go eat dinner with. Blizz Claudio. Welcome to the restaurant. Check it out. It's Core Concepts. It's where we discuss the intricate bits, the little trainy bits of the game. And we did Warriors and Assassins previously, so we want to talk about support a little bit. Bo, define for me, if you will, the Bo Schwartz version of the role of supports. What are they good for?
First of all, they yell out, "Let's get a merc camp." That's the first thing supports do.
All right.
But secondly, they hold on to your butts here. They support the rest of the team with their ability.
Whoa! Are you kidding me? Okay, yeah. I think I'm grasping this now. I understand.
But essentially, what you're there to do is you're there to help save your teammates, help them sustain from hit points and like a mana perspective. Mm-hmm. And depending on the kind of support you are, generally help control the battlefield. Most supports have some big impact ability that either blinds, stuns, roots. So while you can't outright 1v1 hero, most other heroes and kill them, you are doing a lot to help the rest of the team do what they're good at doing. So, you know, Malfurion's, I don't know what his grassy thing that he does. He throws out his lawn.
Oh, right.
his insta-lawn. Yep. His AstroTurf. AstroTurf. That's what it's called. Yeah. AstroTurf. When he throws out AstroTurf, that can isolate a person that's like squirming around. Let's say Tracer. Tracer likes to blink around. When she goes on the AstroTurf, she won't be able to move around and allowing, you know, Greymane to like dark flight onto her and tear a new one as Greymane does. Mm-hmm. As a support, your main role is to help everyone else do what it is they're good at doing.
So who,
and saving their butts.
So who, there's some go-tos in the game, it feels like, in support. And I would say that in the current state of the game, the most common support players you're seeing are Uther, Morales, and lately, Malfurion. He's everywhere, I've noticed. And it feels like, who's another one you see all the time? Oh, probably Rhaegar.
Yeah. Rhaegar right now is still the man.
Yeah. And all those that I just described, they are all not pure healers, but they're healers in the way that you are all at home thinking that we mean it. They heal people.
And they, yeah, they've got a, they've got very good heels on them. Also, you know, Carl Jim, our good friend Carl Jim. We haven't talked about him in a while.
Love
yeah,
him.
I might swap out Uther for Carl Jim. And Uther's not. Uther needs a little love, but
yeah,
there's a lot of them.
Dude, Carl Jim is the bomb. I freaking love him. He's still great.
He's real cool. Yeah. And dude, Brightwing's the other like healer. If we talk about supports as healers, because I think we tend to think of support as we need a healer. And, you know, make no mistake, healers are very powerful. You've also got the two weirdo supports who do heal in their own ways, but they're more known for their other abilities, which is Tassadar and Taranda.
I love the term the two weirdo supports. That's pretty good.
They are weirdo supports because they kind of lean one foot in the support. Well, they're truly support, but they lean one foot like in Taranda's case, she's a damage dealer and a healing type character and a vision type person. Whereas Tassadar also confers vision, but he's more of a crowd control. Like he's a very unique way of defending his team and supporting them, but which isn't defined literally as making HP go up, which is healing. Yeah,
and he does a lot of saving throws, which I really appreciate about him. Like I used to think of his shields as kind of dumb. Like, well, this is nearly as cool as healing a guy, and you can beef those up a little bit with some healing abilities and stuff, but they are mainly like the best saves in the game. Like when you're about to die, if a Tassadar is on point, you're good. He'll get you out. And that's pretty valuable, you know? But I still think there's like a tendency in the community for people to just, if it isn't a healer, then forget it.
Well, it's effective healing. That's right. The way you look at it, right? Like if you get thrown as much shields on a person as, let's say, a Rhaegar full heal, ancestral healing does, then you're effectively healing. Yeah. It just doesn't, it looks white and not green, right. You know, like, and you've probably got to be better at Tassadar than you do at Rhaegar at healing because it's requires more concentration.
Yeah,
but that's what they do. I mean, all supports in one form or another top up people's light health bars as sort of a primary, as a baseline kind of concept to what they do.
They win games. They take objectives by being there. They're not always the flashiest out in front of people. Things and they're actually my least. They used to be my least favorite thing in the world in other games where healers are involved. Like I just don't do it in World of Warcraft. Not interested at all in being a healer in that game. Turns out, totally love doing it in Heroes though. Love it. I only play two or three that I really like, but they all make me happy when I play them. And I've recently come back on Morales. She's awesome. Freaking love Morales.
And I think if you come from playing lots of Warcraft, but not a lot of MOBAs, you kind of think, oh, supports, ew, I don't like healing. It's whack-a-mole with the health bars. It's totally not that here. Yeah. That's just a basic thing you do. You have so much more agency as a, quote, healer in this game than you do in a game like Warcraft.
Fun little side note, the reason that I'm playing Morales a ton now and actually really enjoying her, whereas before I was kind of off her for a very long time, I didn't care. Kind of after I bought her, I just sort of fell off. The strangest of places, in a place where she's not actually all that good. It was in those ARAM matches a couple of weeks ago. And I ended up getting Morales three times in a row. And in fact, you'd think that was going to put me off of her because it was kind of annoying how it kept happening. Randomly, I would get her again and again and again. But despite all of that, what it did is it forced me to get her basics down in a way that I hadn't before. And her rhythm started to feel right to me. And now, like the other night, you guys noticed, that's all I wanted to play for a while. She's awesome. Freaking love her.
Yeah.
So it's funny how that all came out of it. I didn't expect to get that at ARAM. It's like finding, I don't know, it's like finding your future spouse at a crack house.
Yep. And we've all been there.
Right.
That was exactly what I was going to say. Funny how we think alike.
Yeah. John, do you have where are you at on support heroes of your liking? Who do you like? I know you like Jim.
Well, yeah, it'll shock everybody that my list of supports that I like also reads like, who's the best damage dealers of the supports in the game? I like Karazim. I like Rhaegar. Yep. I like Taranda. And I like Tassadar.
Yeah, and they all can be spec'd in ways to make John look like some kind of lord of damage by the end of the game.
Look, I might have... You could probably accurately quote me as saying, oh, yeah, I'm the healer a couple times when I played support.
Well, I like your approach to it. Bo, do you have a favorite? Who do you like?
I have to say, I think my favorite is Morales, to be honest with you. I feel like with her, I am nowhere near damage. I feel like I have this purity of purpose when it comes to like healing and peeling, and I love it. So it's a very challenging way to play, and it's all, you're depending all on your teammates in a way that you're their lifeline and that they've got to take care of the rest. So I feel like she's the most fun to play. Mm-hmm. But I find myself, I played a Brightwing game today. Brightwing is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I think if I had to pick a third, then it would definitely be Rhaegar. Yeah. Carl Jim's kind of gone down for me a bit.
Really? Oh, man, he's so much fun all the time. You know what, though? The fun I'm having with him is less about healing, though. It's more about punching. So
yeah.
He's pretty great.
Yeah, that's always the confusion with him is I always feel like I'm tempted to the dark side when you play support. There's the dark side, which is you stop healing and just try and damage things.
Yeah.
Or you're just in laning and you forget what your role is as a support, which is if your captain says to go this way, and by captain I probably mean tank, and you have a different idea, you're still serving your team better by going down with the ship than by getting your own ideas and doing your own thing.
Yeah.
Supports have to actually take their ego off, what is it? I don't know. You have to like set aside, you have to cast aside your bright ideas and be a bit of a follower as a support, which is its own awesome thing. And I know it sounds bad when you say it, but you're there to support. So your teammates, you know, need you nearby. And that's sort of the worst feeling is when your support seems to be nowhere near where anything important is happening.
Yeah,
so as a support, you need to be a follower.
Sure. And that's important. It's a great feeling when you save somebody or when they say to you, oh man, I was dead there. Thanks for the heal. Or you last minute did something that, you know, Rhaegar did his, whatever it's called, his little ultimate heal. What's it called? Heal.
Ancestral healing.
Ancestral healing. When he pulls that off, at the right moment, or you get Karazim's one. I never pick it, so I never remember the name of it. What is it?
Seismic Palm.
That one.
Or Divine Palm.
Divine Palm.
Sorry.
Seismic Palm. I played bass for them when I was in high school. But when those get pulled off at the right moment, it's just this mind-altering, you just became MVP, even though your numbers are all kind of who cares or whatever, but it's just like you're the man. And so if you like feeling that way, healers. It's a good time.
Yeah, and I would add to that, too, because we've had a lot of people asking recently, you know, how do I avoid a slump? How do I, you know, I'm just on a big losing streak. It's kind of that reason that we said last week, if you like playing support and you want to break the slump, you got to be very careful picking support when you're queuing up for Hero League and stuff like that. Because like Bo said, it is very dependent on your team. I have, despite my love for him, and also despite the fact that in the Heroes client, he's listed as one of my most winning heroes, at least as far as Hots Logs is concerned, Tassadar is one of my lowest winning heroes because I played a ton of him in Hero League and just solo queue quick match, and you become incredibly dependent on your team. As a support, if they're making the wrong calls, you are making the wrong calls right along with them, and you're not going to necessarily turn the tide of a bad strategy as much as you might want. So be very careful with that, but it is a very rewarding experience. You just have to shift your definition of reward. It's not about, you know, as Tassadar, that's what clicked with me. It's not about, oh, I killed that guy. It's about, oh, I caused that guy to be killed.
Ah, see? Look at that. That's a very Zen-like approach. I like it. Caused that guy. Maybe not Zen's not the right word.
Zen is all about murder, folks.
That's a good point.
Yeah. But no, like, you have to be the undercarriage for everything. You're the bra of the group, basically.
Oh,
great.
And you got to support everything. You got to make sure everything's in place, doing its right thing. And, you know, it's apparent when the support is not there. So I would say as a rule of thumb, you should probably be close to the tank. And hopefully there's one other DPS with you. There should be a group of three that sort of forms, and part of that's you. In the early stages, you can sort of lane without the tank, but as the game wears on, you generally want to be near the tank most of all.
Who's the nipple of the team? If you
had to, that would be Kael'thas.
Okay, Kael'thas is nipple of the team. Heard it here first.
Yeah.
All right. What are we doing? What are we doing now? Oh, we're done with that, and that means this. Emails and calls. Calls come to us at 801-471-0462, or you can email us your thoughts and or attachments to core@heroesforyou.com. Let's start with this call about quest traits.
Hi, Scott, Bo, and John. This is Mende from Toronto calling. I've been a longtime listener. I had some thoughts on your discussion about quest traits. It occurred to me that if you have a high-end team and they all pick these quest traits, do you potentially create a kind of barrier for resources? Maybe two players need to collect health globes, and who do you decide gets them? This could create a new meta where people are considering like which trait benefits the team more, and you have to decide who should pick what. But I could also see it being really problematic in quick match if all five players end up picking something in that vein, and now health globes become a real problem, and everybody effectively loses a talent. All right, thanks for your time. P.S. Scott, check out Bo on the Go on YouTube for some great sounders for Gorath. Cheers, guys. Whoa, keep up the great work.
Wait a minute. I missed this part of the call when I first heard it. Bo what? On the Go? Oh. Do you know
I've
about this?
I've never heard of this.
I haven't either, dude. All right, hold on. Bo
it's
on...
a Canadian thing, I think.
Okay, I'm going to play it. Bo on the Go. Bo and the Bluebird? What? Is this? This can't be it.
It's a kid's show, apparently.
Oh, all right. I'm going to play it. Here we go.
I like the first comment on here was, it's by someone named Bo Raymond, and it's a reference that I did not understand brought me here.
Well, oh, here we go.
Bo on the Go.
Bo on the Go.
Hi, Bo buddies. This is Desmond, and I'm Bo.
Wizard.
Are you ready to go?
Okay, so you're...
Bo on the Go.
Oh, wow, dude. That's...
Oh, no.
Seizure-inducing. All right, Bo on the Go. I like
Bo
it.
On the Go. I do agree. You should probably capture some
I'm
of that.
I'm
going to
get some
purposes.
Of that. Oh, I guarantee it.
Be a new segment, Bo on the Go.
Yeah.
Anytime Bo starts on a rant instead of chips, now we'll just play that.
Yeah, I'm into that. That's really good.
On the Go.
But as to his point, don't you, let's say two of you pick quest traits that need health globes. And let's say you're laning together. When those globes are picked up, you both get one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not like one of them's hoarding one, I guess. I understand the idea that if you're all spread out and the globes are randomly popping in different places, and you're not everyone's getting access to those, I guess that could be a problem. But we're not talking about that many right now, right? There's only like, how many are there that have the quest thing for globes?
Yeah, it's everyone that has Regeneration Master has it, actually, or the mana equivalent, which I don't remember what it's called, but there's some generic talents that pick up globes already.
Yeah.
It's just they're not super often picked unless it's on specific characters. Mm. You see Zeratul with Regeneration Master, you know, quite
a
bit.
Tassadar tends to take the mana one for
Conjurer's Pursuit, I think it's called, actually. Yeah, so like, but the quest one specifically, like Kael'thas is Mana Addict, and I think there's one on Tychus, actually confer like a trait if you get X amount. So I think what he's saying is that like if there's more quest talents for all the heroes, then all of a sudden the early stage of the game might turn into like, oh, we're not laning and we're not team fighting. We're just trying to savagely collect resources and coordinate all of this. It might have an impact on the game that's not positive. And maybe.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, here's my two thoughts on that. Number one, if it turns out as bad as it has been described, it's only going to happen once because you guys will all abandon this idea as soon as the opportunity comes up again. It also assumes that every single one of these quest talents to come down the line is going to involve health globes, which they don't all do. I think Kael'thas has one that involves hitting flame strike on targets. So it's not always going to be a battle for health globes. Sometimes it might just be, you know, like Nova's Snipe Master, you have to keep hitting with your snipe. You know, you have to just have a high skill ability that's going off and hitting and doing damage. So I don't think it's going to ever become super problematic to where everybody is on the quest and it all involves the same thing and they're all running counter to each other. I imagine if we ever get to that point, though, you'll run into it once and then people will say, well, that was kind of dumb. Let's not do that again. And then it'll be resolved.
Yeah. Plus I think a lot of that, I think future quest based talent picks are going to, they're going to be more varied and diverse. It isn't going to be a lot of shared resource stuff. Some of it will be, you know, stay alive between now and level, whatever, or it might be, that's probably a dumb one, but whatever. It's not always going to be health globes, I guess is my point. I know there's very little to be farming on the levels, but there might be more that are like, you know, stuff only you can see, the way that it works for Butcher right now with the blood stuff. you don't get to see those. No one else gets to see those but him. Maybe, I don't know. I'm trying to think. Sylvanas generates skeletal Asmodan farts. Has it
on Taste for Blood. That's a popular one.
Yeah.
It's not really a quest, but you can kind of get distracted by getting those. Mm-hmm. Leoric has his Undying that a lot of people take, and that's a health globe one.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of it in the game, but already. So I think we'll be okay, man.
We'll be fine. Just get a warm blanket, get some soup. Everything's going to be fine. Here's an email from Brian, also known as Troll Dan, 1827 in the game. You can look him up, folks. Pronounced the same as Troll Dan. he asked this question. Why are the default keys QWER? As a total MOBA newbie, I thought those keys were silly, so I remapped ASDF because that seems to make sense. I use W for my attack move key because it's handy. I know about Legacy and why those keys were originally chosen, dating back to Warcraft 3's mod for Dota, I presume. But it still seems like those are poor defaults for new players. Any thoughts? Do you remap your defaults? Well, Brian, the answer is I almost did once, but I ended up not. And for the most part, mine are all kind of still where they are. I'm trying to think here. Hold on, let me get my hand down here. I mean, for me, actually, that attack move for W is not bad. But I suppose you could make
so?
Because you just...
That feels weird.
Remember, you got to put your 1, 2, 3, 4 up on that second bar. it's a little more confusing than you might think at first glance, depending on your talents.
It's a good point.
I mean, when I play Diablo 3, I have my Diablo 3 client rebound to ZXCV, actually. Mm. In that game, it makes sense because the shift is used to stand still, which I use quite a bit, so I just move them closer. But there aren't very many buttons in that game.
Yeah.
With MOBAs, though, like when I played League, you'd often have items that were activated. So you really need to consider that you need the QWER, but you also need 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 open for you to use. And so that's a lot more going into the key bindings and changing things. And I get bored with that kind of stuff pretty quick. So if I'm in there for more than a minute and I've got to do it, I'm probably going to stop. So that just never happened. You know, I haven't even used any, all that talk about quick casting coming into the Heroes. I haven't done quick casted a single thing yet.
Oh, really? That's
I haven't done a single thing. I'm like, I'll get to it.
Oh my gosh, really? Because I've totally done it. And I was the one that was being a curmudgeon about it.
Yeah, you're the one that was least likely to care. And I've done the same. I went in there and tweaked a bunch of stuff. But I love the idea that, like, what do you do with a game like Elite Dangerous, Bo? Do you see the keys in there and just go, I want to die? Like, what do you do?
I haven't told you about this. I use voice attack.
Oh, that's right.
I use, actually, what I do in there is, and it's funny, I spent a lot of time with that, but that was worth it because you can make your computer talk to you. So, like, I'd be like, please engage. And my computer would be like, I only engage for real pilots and not engage. I'd set up weird stuff like that.
Nice.
Yeah, voice attack is a voice macro generator where you say, like, engage hyperdrive, and then, you know, you have a computer. You can have your voice app that's not Elite Dangerous, it's outside of the game, say, yes, sir, engaging hyperdrive, and it'll macro the key for you, so you don't have to know where all the keys are. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay, you said voice attack, and I just pictured you, like, aiming your ship and then going, bang, fire, bang, bang, fire, bang, 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 bang.
Tractor beam. Get that loot. Tractor beam. Yeah,
missile.
That's pretty great.
So you don't really actually need that many buttons in Elite Dangerous if you set up your voice attack.
Okay,
it's a program, voice attack. Google it; you'll find it.
Can you do? But you can't. Okay, but I feel like changing the keys. All he did was rob Peter to pay Paul. I really don't think he moved him around that much. This listener, like, it's not really that different. Like ASDF.
If you like ASDF, then that's fine. It's fine. I mean, it's just
first-person shooters and just wants his fingers there.
Yeah.
I guess his comment was it seems poor. But what I would say to that is there's a lot of things that seem poor. On Current Geek this week, I think we talked about how the keyboard might be poor or might be really good.
Yeah, the QWERTY keyboard is terrible if you think about it. If you really want to think about it, it's bad. It's a bad
device.
We're just
used to it.
Yeah.
And so there's the opportunity cost of having everyone change to a new keyboard versus just reusing the keyboard, you know, which is what we do. And I think that's the same thing here is just, well, everybody knows QWER in MOBA talk, so let's not rock the boat. And if you want to do something different, that's fine. It's up to you to spend your time rebinding your keys.
Yeah.
But that's fun for
just
you.
Don't ask Bo.
This whole conversation has given me a flashback to my early first-person shooter days where I would play with my fingers on the arrow keys using control shift and enter with my left hand, and then my right hand was on just the right half of like a Logitech joypad.
Yep.
And combining those two things together, man, what a time. What
it's,
an age.
It is amazing. Been. I'm so glad you brought that up because I was staring at my keys as you said it. I used to do, even when I was using a mouse and I was playing Quake, I used the arrow keys and I refused to go ASWD. I just refused, or WASD, WASD. Because it just seems so like, oh, my fingers will get lost. I'll be pushing a bunch of buttons I don't mean to, and all this stuff. What forced me to change was suddenly games said, hey, E activates things. Like, things got more interactive.
And
this game's this game's similar. It's like, well, you might need 1, 2, 3, and 4 if you're going to have some activatable abilities and some of the traits you pick. Like, I don't know. Bottom line is, it's nice that you can customize it because everybody should do what they want. But at the end of the day, I don't think they're going to change the basics from... I don't think new players actually see this as that big a deal, unless you're playing Diablo a lot, and then it feels really weird.
Like, yeah, going between Heroes and Diablo is rough.
Yeah, that's not, and that's a, you know, that's Blizzard to Blizzard, but it's still kind of goofy. All right, that's your email. Thanks for the email, Brian, and thank you for the phone call, other guy. Once again, 801-471-0462 for the voicemail. You can also leave us those emails at core@heroesforyou.com. I think it's going to do it for us. Heroesforyou.com is the website. You can /join Frog Pants in the game and play with other players and listeners who listen to the show and us occasionally. So hop on in there, join them. It's easy. Right there in the chat, just /join space and the name Frog Pants, one word. Core@heroesforyou.com is the email. I already told you that, but I'm not going to tell you again. Core Heroes on Twitter, John_Jagger on Twitter. I'm Scott Johnson on Twitter. And Bo is at Bo Schwartz. All one word. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Bo, for John, and for heroes everywhere. We'll see you next time.
Hey, Corhounds. Spork here with part 3 of the Ping System. Today, we're going over the Danger Ping. Danger Ping is G and mouse up by default. This is an awesome ping to let people know they are or could be in trouble. One of the ways to use this is if you see someone on the enemy team rotating to gank a teammate. Another way I like to use it is to denote there is a Nova or Zeratul cloaked and waiting to gank a teammate. Personally, I find this most useful when playing in a pre-made group with friends as it won't be easily brushed off as ping spam. Be sure to hop in game and try and help a teammate before they get ganked. Have a great week, and remember, don't die.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.